We're talking about the battle for truth. This is Palm Sunday, and I was thinking about this passage because it's where Jesus has a conversation with Pontius Pilate. And I was thinking about how there is such a struggle with authority, isn't there not? Nowadays, we kind of struggle, what is truth, right? What is true? Who says what is right and who says what is wrong? Who says what is good and who says what is bad? Can we trust scientists, politicians, preachers? Everybody is questioning authority nowadays. And so I think there's an unsettling and even an uneasiness, even of those within the church. But this is it's not something that should surprise us as believers in Christ, because the Bible teaches that there is a cosmic battle for truth that has been since the beginning, ever since the lies came off the lips of Satan and said, well, did God really say, right? Did God really say such and such? And we read in Genesis this questioning of God. And Adam and Eve, our ancestors, and always question, well, does God really care about me? Is God really for me? What is really true? And so this battle has raged on through the centuries. And today it's no different. But you and I, brothers and sisters, need to be aware. And maybe you're here listening today and you're just checking it out. You're not really sure about Christianity. But I'm going to explain to you. When we embrace Christ, we embrace a different kind of thinking, yes? But it needs to be a clear thinking. We do not put our brains on the shelf. God wants us to engage the brain and the heart. And I hope to do that this morning with you folks. But let's look first at the conversation that Jesus has with Pontius Pilate. He's been handed over to the Jews. It's verses 33. 38, I'm going to get out of your way here for a moment so you can see it. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it about me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world. Then Pilate said to him, so you are a king. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. For this purpose, and this you might want to underline, for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? After he said this, he went back outside the Jews and told them, I find no guilt in him. So 2,000 years ago, this guy's asking the same question. Truth? Jesus says, I come to bear witness to truth. Pilate says, almost scoffing, what is truth? What is truth? How do you know that you know what you really know? Now, the problem is that while we may think truth, they call it epistemology, we won't get into all that this morning, but how do you know what you really know? The problem is we have different definitions of truth, do we not? In this culture, and I'm gonna show that before we look at the gospel, obviously we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he died on the cross for our sins, that we might have life eternally. He broke the power of sin and death, as through him we have eternal life. Amen? There's the gospel, okay? However, we have a challenge of communicating the truth of the Bible to people, especially in our Western culture today, and of course, Western culture, I'm talking about America, Great Britain, Australia, Europe, because we have a challenge because we have several different ways of interpreting truth. Some see truth by science. That is that science tells me what is true. And science can tell you some things, okay? Science basically means knowledge. The word means knowledge. It's a search of knowledge. Now, science is not bad. And some people think, well, science and faith, they're kind of at war with each other. Not really. Just particular ways of interpreting evidence in science. And don't get glossed over yet, because this isn't going to be all science and history. But some people look at it, look, if I can't see it, I can't believe it, right? You get know anybody like that? If I can't see it, I can't believe it. Science tells me everything I need to know. And so they look at their whole world through that. The only problem with that is science is very limited. There are a lot of intangibles. There is a spiritual world, yes? And there are a lot of things that science can't explain. The other thing, too, is science is always changing. Our knowledge is always changing. Hopefully we're advancing, right? Hopefully we're knowing more, not knowing less. For instance, 150 years ago, Charles Darwin came up. He published Origin of Species. Read it. It was interesting. Disagree with it. Why? Because 150 years later, we now have more modern science, and we can go that he didn't have 150 years back then. And he believed, and he posited this theory, that we all evolved over time, millions of years, from animals to people, right? So we all share a common ancestry. And that has been accepted as a theory. And sometimes we come up with anecdotal things, but let me just say this. Knowledge changes. We now have DNA. We can test the human genomes. Let me give you an example. I'll move on to the second point here, but you have to be careful what you think is a hard science, okay? Because they just took some recent genomes. Basically, we have the human genome. That's the code that we're made up of. You guys understand that? All the software that makes me, me, as a human being. What makes up an ape? What makes up a donkey? What makes up different animals, right? So they tested all these different genomes, and they tested them for mutations in the DNA. And this every generation, what mutations are passed down? Figure out, well, how did evolution work? You know what they found? It doesn't. While there are small humans, even if you give them millions of years or tens of millions of years, you know what they end up being? Humans. The monkeys, chimpanzees, apes, and whatnot, they have it's a straight line. That if okay, let's stretch it out. Give 10 million years, calculate a lot of mutations. 10 million years, 20 million years, 3 million years. You know what they end up being? Monkeys. And this stuff, if you want to read about it, it's a new book. It's by a Harvard scientist called Replacing Darwinism, The New Origin of Species. It has the new science out. Now, will this be accepted as the norm? Maybe, but it's not going to be popular in the media. Why? Because we've been conditioned to accept one thing as the truth. But you got to understand with science, there's always new breaking stuff coming out, new things coming out. So there are tons of books, there are tons of material that refute the theory of macroevolution. That is, leap from one species to another. Nobody's debating that change in eye color and freckles and things like that. We just don't believe monkey jumped to man. Didn't happen, right? So that's just one thing. One thing. So science doesn't tell us everything. It's incomplete. It's always changing. What about truth by consensus? This is basically, if the majority believes it, it must be true, right? I read it on the internet. It must be true. Now, how many of you guys here, like, if I say, well, majority believes it, it must be true, that kind of sounds like a false statement. Well, of course nobody thinks that, but we do live like it, don't we? We might not say that out loud, but many people, even many of us sometimes, we accept things just because they're accepted. It's accepted by the majority. But here's the problem with that is the majority can often be wrong and oftentimes is wrong. Slavery was very acceptable at one time. That was wrong. Communism was a very acceptable political ideology at one time through Russia and China and Cuba and many parts of the world. But it was wrong. But let me give you an example of how the majority is wrong sometimes, oftentimes. There's a recent study that came out that says that one out of two millennials, how many of you guys know what a millennial is? You're my age at your kids, okay? So if you guys that are, your kids, are they're in their 20s and getting to the 30s, you guys are in the millennial range. It says one out of two of you guys think communism is cool. Not good. The only thing I can think of is that history is not being taught. Because when you learn history, then you learn that millions, tens of millions of people were killed. There was genocide that happened in the 20th century. Over 50 million people alone died under communist rule because of it. People were persecuted. It did not work as a government system. It failed over and over. But the problem with not learning history is not only that we're doomed to repeat it, but we're doomed to repeat it in the worst way and make terrible mistakes. We don't want to repeat our worst history, amen? And so, truth by consensus, or, well, hey, everybody, it seems that most people believe it, so, yeah, that doesn't mean it's true. You can't always go with the majority. It's often a vocal minority that steps forward, that steps out ahead of the pack and is willing to be ridiculed, willing to be put down, just so they could get the truth out, make change. Thank God. Amen? And that's what it is. As Christians, we're always on that cutting edge. We're always standing for Christ. And how many of you guys know, do you think Jesus is popular right now? What do you think? You think he's popular? Maybe certain versions of him. But the version of Jesus that's in the Bible is not very popular because he says some very unpopular things. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That's a very unpopular statement because he's saying, I'm it. What? There is no other way. Oh, you can't say that. And here's another one. What about whatever works for you? How many of you guys are familiar with this philosophy of life? How many of you guys have ever lived this, right? It's also known as relative truth. That is, hey, you know what? Whatever you want to believe, whatever works for you, that's fine. Whatever works for me, that's fine. What people usually mean by this is, as long as you're happy, right? As long as you're happy, you're not hurting anybody, you're happy with your life, whatever works for you, you believe what you want to believe. And you think, okay, the only problem with that is that we have this little thing in this world that some people don't want to acknowledge that called sin. Sin is basically the bent or predisposition or default that human beings have to rebel against God. It's our default. Now, we're capable of good, but we have this default that says, I'm going to do this myself. You guys do that? Have that thing? I could do this myself. I don't need instructions. That works really well on Christmas morning. Doesn't try and put together these, I don't need instructions. 3 hours later, okay, maybe I should read some of this. Right? But we have this mentality that sin, we don't even think about the effects of it. But sin can lead to death. So people could be happy. Do you know you can sin and be happy? Let me say that clearly. You can sin and be happy. You can live in sin and be happy. You could also smoke cigarettes every day and die of lung cancer. But you'll be happy, but you won't feel the effect and the pain until you're probably stage four. Sin is like cancer, gang. It's fun in the beginning, but in the end, it'll kill you. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, leads to death, right? And so the Bible talks about this sin nature. It's kind of this self-destructive, rebellious thing that's got to be curbed, and Jesus is the only cure for it. Amen? I tried to talk about it in so many different ways so people can understand, because in our culture today, people don't even get, what is sin? What is that? Well, that's what it is. It's that default rebellious thing in us that's, it's like there's no cure except we got to go to God himself. Jesus is a cure. I believe that's John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. It's a very exclusive statement. And what he's saying is that. People try and say, well, what he really meant was what he really said. That he is the only path to eternal life. You believe that? Amen. But people will look at that statement and go, isn't that kind of mean? I mean, what do you say? How do you talk to other people about this? I mean, if I'm a Christian, I'm loving, I have compassion, I love people. Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. How can I tell somebody that their religion is wrong? How can I, isn't that mean? Isn't it mean? Isn't it intolerant? Here's a question. And forgive me ahead of time if this is too direct for you, but and I don't mean this in mean spirit. I want to say this with all compassion. I want to explain to you there's a difference between biblical thinking and the way our culture thinks right now. Okay, and we need to understand this difference, because often, because there's no understanding, then we end up fighting, we end up frustrated. We can't keep, call each other stupid, which is not good. That's not a good witnessing tool. You don't do that. You know? It's like, you don't think Jesus is God. That's just stupid. You know, that's not a good method, okay? We don't want to do that, right? And then people think, well, you're stupid for believing that. Well, you're stupid. Well, are we all like 10 here? I mean, what's going on? Why can't we have a debate? We can't. I remember listening to debates and we would sit down face-to-face and have coffee, and we would talk over ideas and go, wow, because some things in the Bible kind of were hard to take, or maybe they didn't make sense. Well, what do you think about that? I don't know. What do you think? And we go back and forth. What we didn't do is we didn't have Facebook back then. I like one of those internet memes that we didn't have iPhones and Facebook and all that. We had something called Outside, because Mom would always go, go outside. You're bothering me. Go outside. I'm cooking dinner. Go outside. I'm doing that. Go outside. Outside was all that we had. We didn't have like just doing this kind of thing. We had rocks, dirt rock. Well, the ones that broke apart, you know. Only the mean kids use the ones that didn't break apart. But, you know, we create like forts and we throw rocks at each other. We play hide and seek, you know. That was good fun back then. Now I think you just probably get, oh no, you're throwing rocks at each other. We're going to sue you. I don't know. It's just gotten weird. Hasn't it gotten weird? So don't know where I'm going with all that. I'm just going to rant, sorry. But there's a difference in our generations, is there not? And things have gotten complicated. I think with the internet, what's happened is we've gotten information overload. We've got information and misinformation. And I'm sorry, Wikipedia is not always right. So there's some good stuff on there, but how do you know? You got to filter it. So we get all this information, and it's hard to process all that. Well, here I think is what I've come down to realize is this is the way our culture thinks. Not everybody, but a lot of people have learned to think like this. And again, the question again, is it wrong, mean, or intolerant to speak the truth? That's the question. Is it wrong, mean, or intolerant to say what I believe is true to share that with another person? There's two things. The two cultural ideas that contribute to this belief system. The belief that all religions are equally valid. Okay, that's one. And the belief that our feelings and internal drive, sexual, otherwise determine who we are, i.e. identity. Do you see these? These are operating in our culture today. Now, I'm just saying that's a reality, right? When I look at a lot of people, they think, wow, you know, you can't tell a Muslim it's like Jesus is the only God. It's like, well, if you ask a Muslim, what are you going to receive? What do they believe about God, the universe? What are they going to say? There's one God and Muhammad is his prophet. right? That's what you're going to hear. You ask a Christian, what are you going to hear? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. He said, you'll have no other gods before me. There is one God, right? So how can I as a Christian go, well, wait a minute. Yeah, Jesus he's God. Oh, yeah, but Muhammad's God. No, wait a minute. But the Muslim says, no, that can't be. I've never met a Muslim yet that's not going to go, oh, yeah, Jesus could be God too. You're not going to find that. See, with our compassion, we want to connect, right? We want to connect. I don't want to see anything mean. I don't want to be intolerant. I want to be compassionate. But then it's like, but if we're not truthful, what good is it? So the only way that all religions can be equally valid is that they're all wrong. They're all false. And then the best position we can have is atheism. Then, oh yeah, well, all religions are all the same. Why? Yeah, because they're all wrong. But what you can't do is say Buddhism or Islam or Christianity or Hinduism, various forms of Hinduism or whatever religion you have, that's true, and so is this other thing. No, it doesn't work like that. The light is red or the light is green. Depending upon how you read that, you will get smashed. Right? If you cross the street at the wrong time. Now, why is it that we can have that rule in the physical world, but we think spirituality doesn't matter? Whatever. It does matter. There's consequences. So these are the two, I think, prevalent ideas. It is what it is. Now, what does the Bible teach? This is what the Bible teaches. It's different. Okay? The Bible contradicts both of these belief systems. It teaches that, again, there's only one true God and that all other religions are forms of idolatry. Ooh, wow. It's kind of narrow. That's narrow-minded. Well, the truth, by very definition, is narrow when we're talking about objective truth. I'm not saying your truth. Forget that. But people... Americans and English, it's ridiculous. It's a wonder anybody can even learn English. Because we say, my truth, people are like, what is that? It has nothing to do with the truth. My truth is my experiences and all that kind of stuff. Very confusing. We're talking about the truth, something that is unchangeable, consistent in the universe, consistent with the very nature of God. God's character is immutable. That means unchangeable. God does not change. His word, what he's put forth, doesn't change. There are laws of the universe, moral laws of the universe that are set in place that do not change. He does not change, right? So that's one thing. The second thing is that our identity, now get this, our identity is not determined by our feelings. How I feel. This is important for every person, every believer, no matter who you are, everything that you go through, no matter what you've been taught about yourself, no matter what you've gone through. We all struggle with feelings, do we not? Right? I mean, I'm a Christian, but I was an addict, so what? I was addicted to drugs, or I was addicted to alcohol. And so we have this, I don't feel saved. I don't feel good enough, right? But you see, our identity is not determined by our feelings, it's by who we follow. It's who we follow. We follow Christ. Now my identity is in Christ. Not my feelings, but in who I follow. You see, the thing about Christianity, a lot of people don't get, is that it's not about feeling good, feeling saved, feeling Christian. I gotta feel good enough to be up here speaking to you. Sometimes I don't. I always feel like talking, and don't get me wrong with that. But sometimes I don't feel worthy for this. I don't feel worthy. I go through times in my life, and I have to go before God. And he works on my heart, and he says, you know I love you, right? Yeah. You know what? I'm the one that called you here. Was it your idea, right? Yeah. You ever feel like that? whatever ministry or whatever thing that God is calling you to, sometimes you go through that struggle. See, it's not your feelings. It's who you follow. I follow Christ. I am in Christ. He is my identity. There are only three identities the Bible gives us. Creation, sinner, saved. That's it. And everything else is under that. So why don't we reject all the labels that this world is throwing on us? And let's look at ourselves, how God sees us. Before, we were his creation, but we rebelled, and we were in sin. We were all sinners, right? The Bible says we've all sinned. Let's say some sin, 50% sin, 10% sin, 25% sin. Oh, these guys really sinned a lot. We're going to baptize them for a longer time. No! It says we've all sinned. We've all messed up. We're all in the same boat together. But see, we live in a culture that wants to divide us up. Say, you're straight, you're gay, you're this, you're that, you're trans whatever. No. You're a human being. You're a creation made in the image of God. And if you accept Jesus Christ in your heart, you believe that he died on the cross for your sins, you're saved. You are a child of God. You are in Christ. That is your identity. Forget what these guys are saying, all the activists, all these people. I have one. I am his. I belong to Jesus. Nobody else has a label on me. Nobody else. And regardless of how I'm feeling about myself. And again, some of you guys, maybe you're struggling right now. I don't know what you're going through. And there's all kinds of things. And I'm not just picking on the sexual thing. There's all kinds of feelings that we have, temptations. And God says, yeah, but that doesn't sum up who you are in my eyes. You understand? It's your identity is not based on your feelings. It is based on who you follow. Now, it's hard following sometimes because the flesh, the old part, wants to do one thing, but the Spirit of God is moving in us wanting to do the other thing, to want to do the right thing. But you know what? The part that wants us to do the right thing is way stronger than the part that wants to do the bad thing. And you need to understand, they aren't equal. The Holy Spirit within you is far more powerful than any temptation, than anything that you're feeling. That's the thing that we believe, or that's the thing that we fall into. And I talked to you from somebody who has, I have, in my life, fallen into sexual sin. I have fallen into drunkenness. I have fallen into doing things that are displeasing to the Father. But God has redeemed me and brought me out. I don't say I'm perfect. But I say regardless of whatever this world has labeled you, or maybe you've chosen to label yourself as, I love you because of who you are. Because you're a person made in the image of God. Now, if you made that decision to cross over and to become in Christ, awesome. But even if you're not in Christ yet, even if you're just, well, I don't know, Dave, I'm still trying to figure this thing out. I don't know if I buy into this. That's okay. You know what? I still love you too. I do with all my heart. Because, and I will teach you as long as you are willing to listen. And I will love you and care for you as long as you are willing to be here in this family. But one thing I will not do is that I will not label you as them. You're us. You're Ohana. You are here with us. As long as you're willing to learn, I'm willing to teach. That make sense? Can you receive that? If you're visiting today, yeah, you figured out. I'm not one to dance around. But I don't want to be mean. But it's hard, isn't it? When everything you believe in the world, everything you love and hold dear is attacked, it's hard. You want to lash out. There's that temptation. But God's saying, no, don't. Defend your faith. That's okay. But have my peace upon you. Cast all your anxieties on me because I care for you. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, present your request to God. Don't let anxiety rule the day. Don't let fear rule the day. Don't let what this world is saying about your faith rule the day. There's a battle for truth that's been going on for thousands of years. Just know, I love you. God loves you. and you're right where you need to be today. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we bless your name. Oh God, forgive us, Lord, when in your name we've been mean, when in your name we have been cruel, unloving, intolerant, bigoted. Oh God, forgive us. Help us to understand and love each other all, with all our quirks and with everything we bring to the table, Lord. To love one another, to uphold truth, and to help each other on this journey. God, so many times we just think we're alone. Help us to see we don't have to do this alone, but if we could just come together, we could help each other wherever we're at in our journey with you. Lord, we love you, we worship you, we praise you and honor your name. And all God's people said, God bless you guys. Have a great week.